This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
That Texans defense is no joke.
Ball is out. Rankins picks it up.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Hot seat. Mike T has had more success than anybody in the league.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL analyst Alex Smith. Coming up, Fox Sports NFL analyst Mark Schlereth. Comedian Kevin Nealon. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat with Alex Smith and hour number one, Kevin Nealon of obviously SNL fame and also all the Sandler movies that you can handle. He's going to be coming back on the show in hour number three. He hasn't been here in about 3+ years. So it'll be great to reconnect with Kevin Nealon in hour three. There's always you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. It's an overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. We'll get to that shortly in a moment. But guess what? We've got Mark Schlereth back here on the program from Fox Sports. Good to see you, Mark Schlereth. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Rich. How are you, my friend?
I am doing well. You think Aaron Rodgers should do what? How about that for openers, Mark?
What do I think he should do? I don't know. Go on a darkness retreat and eat ghee butter till he throws up.
Okay, that's one thing.
That he could do that. Listen, he should do whatever he wants to do. If somebody's willing to pay him to play quarterback and that's what he wants to do, then I think he should do it. The guy can still play. There's no question. Has he slowed down a bit? Yes, certainly. But can he still throw the football? Absolutely. But listen, man, whatever he wants to do, I always look at fans in general that are like, that guy should retire and he's tarnishing his legacy. Man, the easy thing to do is retire and put your name, you know, into the running when you're going to become the first ballot Hall of Famer. The tough thing to do is, if you still have a passion for it, to continue to play, because it takes a lot of dedication, a lot of time, and a lot of work to be able to do that. And so whatever he wants to do, I'm fine with. I'm not sitting here saying, I think he should do this or that. To me, I love watching him play. Obviously, last night was a tough night, no question about it, but the Houston Texans defense will do that to everybody. I mean, I always put myself, Rich, in a position of like, what if I was playing still? What if I was playing against those guys, right? Uh-huh. And I started thinking about that as I was watching it last night. I instantly got diarrhea. I was like, these guys are so freaking awesome, and they are so violent the way they play football, and they are so unbelievably tough. It just like just the whole thing about how are you going to deal with those guys, man? That would be like those 2000 Ravens when you had to play those guys. That's what it reminded me of.
Dude, that's how I started the show, saying that I've been fortunate to do what I do for a living since 2003 with NFL Network. But the first Super Bowl I ever attended was Super Bowl 30 when the Ravens dismantled the Giants. And I equated this defense for the Texans with that one. And I know that sounds like heresy, but it's the real thing, man. I don't know how many Hall of Famers are going to wind up on this team, or how many on this team will wind up being Hall of Famers. More appropriate way of saying it. But I didn't stutter, nor did you.
Rich, I remember going into a game in 2000. We're going to play the Ravens, that a playoff game. And at the time, I was injured, but I was helping kind of with the game plan and helping Alex Gibbs, our offensive line coach. And so we go in there and we put in four, like you always break it down by four games, their last four games. And I think in the last four games, when we broke them down, I think an offensive lineman got up to block Ray Lewis, I think twice or three times. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was unreal. That dude was just flying around having tackling practice, and Siragusa and Sam Adams were just eating people up in the middle, and it was unbelievable. But, you know, we were the Denver Broncos, and we ran the ball against everybody, and we're going to run it against the Baltimore Ravens, and we're going to do this, that, and the other. And we get into, like, halfway through the third quarter, we are getting our asses whipped. I mean, we are just getting whipped. And Alex Gibbs looked at me as our offense was coming off, you know, to the sideline, he just kind of put his hands up and was like, well, what are you going to do? Like, there, like, ain't nothing you could do. They were that good. And that's kind of how I feel about the Houston Texans, man. They are that good.
They are. And I started the show by saying they can win it all based on what we saw. And Stroud fumbled it five times and they still won.
Yeah.
Obviously, it helped that he didn't lose all five, but that happened last night. And who else impressed you from the wild card weekend, Mark Schlereth?
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, like, you look at what Chicago has been able to do. And, you know, one thing I always say about coaches, and there's a lot of pearl clutchers out there said, oh, you know, Ben Johnson said, you know, F the Bear or F the Packers, and oh, we're all worried about that. One thing I always say about head coaches in general is you have to authentically be you. And as players, man, come on, wait, we were all a bunch of PE majors. I mean, I got a general studies degree from the University of Idaho, right? I'm not that smartest guy, but you do have a great sense of which guys have horse sense and which guys are real. Mm-hmm. And you've got to be authentically you. And it's one of the things I loved about Ben Johnson, man. He's like, the first time I talked to him months ago, he goes, wait till you see this offensive line I put together. Man, we're going to change the way this organization operates. Wait till you see us run the ball. And that's the thing. This guy has been lauded as one of these. I see, there's my general studies degree. However you use that word, Rich, can do that for me.
He's lauded. He's lauded.
As this great play caller and this great play designer and this all this, that, and the other. The bottom line is, man, that dude runs the football. And then you see him in third down and six situations. He'll run the football knowing, hey, man, I'm going for it in fourth down in this situation. And your ability to overcome that whipping you got in the first half and to walk out there and still have the mental capacity and the belief and the toughness to go out there and do what you do, I just thought that was incredibly impressive by the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and Denver got two first-team All-Pro offensive linemen. Chicago got one in left guard, Joe Tooney, and then one second-team All-Pro and the right tackle in Darnell Wright. And so clearly Ben Johnson had a vision and has been able to affect it. The Caleb Williams 4th-and-8 throw, for me, that's the play of the year at this point in time, just in terms of the stakes, in terms of the manner in which he threw that football, how he found his receiver in Rome Odunze. I have no idea. It saved the entire year for Chicago. And started yet another comeback, and which has been their hallmark. And now here come the Rams. What is your opinion of that? Fully knowing, by the way, it could be one of the coldest games on record in the history of the NFL playoffs, by the way.
Yeah. I've said this for a while, that I thought the Rams, for a lot of the season, were the best team in the NFL. And then, you know, you watch a game where they're up 14-0, and you're thinking, at least I was thinking, this is going to be a blowout. And I've done enough Carolina games to know that the Carolina Panthers still have a ways to go before they're at that level of the Rams. And then, you know, the Rams have to come down and put a drive together with Matthew Stafford throwing it to Parkinson down the, which was just an unbelievable throw, right, and catch. But yeah, I still think the Rams are really, really good. And I think that they are, you know, defensively, they can rush the passer. They're very balanced on the defensive side of the ball. But they gave up a lot of big passing plays to the Carolina Panthers. They felt like there was something off there. I still think Matthew Stafford, I still think that offense can produce. And I still think they're a better team than the Bears. But I've been discounting the Bears every step of the way. Like, every step of the way, I'm like, ah, man, this is the week. And, oh, you know, like, their quarterback, Caleb Williams, doesn't complete a high enough percentage. And yet he still just seems to be able to make a play when a play is needed. Being able, there's a skill set in being able to play your best when your best is needed. When it's crunch time, that dude just has an ability about him. The old saying, when it's nut cutting time, that guy cuts nuts. Like that, he just figure out a way to get it done, and it's incredible.
Mark Schlereth here on the first Rich Eisen show right here. The one seed you're concerned about the most, Denver taking on the Bills and Josh Allen, or Seattle taking on a San Francisco 49ers team that just lost another major player in George Kittle, but keeps on chugging, and clearly they know each other. Which one is the matchup that concerns you for the one seeds the most, Mark?
Probably the Broncos. And, you know, Josh Allen is just that special. I look at San Francisco, and what they've been able to do to this point is just incredible. From Robert Saleh being able to grab a guy like Kendricks off the street, and all of a sudden that guy is your play caller on the defensive side of the ball and the guy that's orchestrating on defense, and all the young players they're playing with there in San Francisco, and all the injuries they've had offensively, and Kyle Shanahan continuing to do the things that he does. I think that it's an incredible story. I think this Seattle team is so good on the defensive side of the ball. And one of the things I've always said about great pass rushers, you know, you go back to your play-in days, is, hey, man, if they've got one really good pass rusher, we can kind of eliminate that guy, or one guy who is, we used to call them war daddies. You got one war daddy, we can eliminate that one war daddy. We can figure out a way to game plan around it. But they got four or five guys on their defense. They're just problems. I mean, they're just problems. Mm-hmm. And they rotate those guys. I think Mike McDonald's done a phenomenal job. That defense is incredible. And like you watch, you go back to week 18, that game, I think it was a Saturday night, where it was a 13-3 game, and it might as well have been a 30-3 game. I mean, it was a butt whipping by Seattle that they put on San Francisco. I just don't know that you're going to be able to come back from that one. But the Broncos, Josh Allen, I think this is the worst team that Josh Allen has got to the playoffs with here in recent years, but he is such an X factor. And his ability, you know, to run the football, of the, I think they had 12 rushing plays, two of them kneel down. So 10 rushing plays, seven of them, I went back through the film against Jacksonville, seven of them were designed runs, either tush push, I think four of them, and then three designed runs, QB draws and a quarterback power. The guy is phenomenal. And it's not just his scrambling ability. The designed runs when they get into the high red zone or into the red zone. And then his ability to stand in the face of trouble and just deliver the football. He is just the biggest X factor. He is the compound W. He will cover multiple warts. And I think he's done that throughout the season for the Buffalo Bills.
Well, I mean, and, you know, the national conversation is that even though, as you pointed out, his team may not be one of the better teams or the best team that he's had this decade, but he's got the best layout of the playoffs he's had, even though he's on the road for the first time this decade. And the reason why everybody's saying that is who's not in the playoffs, and that's Patrick Mahomes. And I give you the floor on that one, since I know you're a Chiefs lover who misses talking about that team and that quarterback, Mark.
Yeah, as much as I hate the Chiefs, I have nothing but respect for the Chiefs. I'm conflicted about it because I actually want to hate Patrick Mahomes so much. And I actually find myself like gravitating to him and liking him, which really, yeah, that's like eating a turd sandwich with sprinkles on it. You know, I just like, hey, the sprinkles don't really help it go down. But I will tell you, like, I am fascinated by watching Patrick Mahomes do what he does late in games. Mm-hmm. His ability, again, very much like what we talked about with Caleb Williams, his ability to be at his best when his best is required, and the belief that team has had in their ability to go out there and put a drive together late in a game to win a football game. It is like essentially nothing I've seen in years and years. It reminds me of, you know, playing with John Elway and being in the huddle in a game where you're down by two touchdowns and Elway walks into the huddle and is like, all right, let's go win this thing, you know, and you just feel like, all right, let's, here we go. And that's the thing that fascinates me about Mahomes, and the fact that he's not in the playoffs and the Bengals aren't in the playoffs. And, you know, some of the great quarterbacks, Lamar's not in the playoffs. You're right. It's probably the easiest path, even though you're on the road, when you consider those guys are not in your playoff kind of path.
Yeah. I mean, Nix, May, and Stroud are the three quarterbacks left in this AFC playoffs, with Allen standing out, obviously, is the most decorated one, but maybe being the, I don't know. Obviously, you said Josh Allen is the MVP formerly of last year, and May could be this year. That looms out there. Mark Schlereth here on the Rich Eisen Show. In the few minutes I have left, I want to talk about the coaching with you and everybody that's been fired or could get hired or could get fired. Were you surprised John Harbaugh was let go in Baltimore, Mark?
I was, because I think John Harbaugh is one of the great coaches in this league. And, you know, I don't know what all behind the scenes has gone down in Baltimore. I do know that there does come a time when your run is probably over. And, you know, there does that when everybody needs a fresh start. And it's much like the players, you know, you get to the point where you've been with an organization for a while. And when you get that fresh start, it's not only probably good for the organization for you to walk out the door, but it's also good for you to re-energize and to reconnect, if you will. So I was surprised because John Harbaugh, like I said, is class, and he's a great coach and has been a great coach in this league for a long time. But you know, I think that whether it's the quarterback and John that don't see eye to eye, you know, offensively, whatever the case may be, I think it'll be good for both the organization and good for John to get that, you know, get a fresh start and go lead another team to the playoffs.
Where do you think his best landing is? The Falcons say that they're going to have an in-person meeting with him. Obviously, mm-hmm. The Giants have an opening. Give me the spot where you think he fits best, Mark.
Yeah, I think that the Atlanta Falcons are a really talented football team, and then they play in a division that's very winnable. So I think that would be a great fit for John Harbaugh. I think the Giants also would be a great fit for John Harbaugh, a young quarterback who I think is a talented kid, defensive, you know, front seven. I think they can play. And they seem to have fixed some of their offensive line woes and some of the issues they've had there. So I think either of those teams would be a great fit, you know, for John. That would be my anticipation. I think the Giants probably would be my number one, kind of my number one place where he might go. But I think that would probably be my destination number one for him.
Okay. And now congratulations in the few minutes I have left on making you an NFL owner. You now have multiple more zeros going mm-hmm. on. So congrats again, as I said. But you don't know which team yet. I'm going to sort of spin you around the dial here about what you should do as the owner of the Philadelphia Eagles. You're Jeff Lurie. What do you do? What do you do there in Philadelphia?
Well, I think one thing you have to do is you've got to give Nick Sirianni the opportunity to reestablish himself and reestablish the culture within that organization. And sometimes the best way to move forward is to let go of really good players that become a problem. And I think one of the things that happens in a locker room when a guy is unhappy, and we're talking about AJ Brown, and what happens, how that filters through your locker room. If you consistently have to acquiesce to a certain guy because, you know, he is that talented, ultimately what happens to guys like me is you watch that go on and it becomes uncomfortable in your own locker room. Right. Be like, we've got to acquiesce to that guy on a consistent basis. And then all of a sudden that dude's in the training room. You're like, I don't want to go in the training room. I'm going to skip my treatment, or I'm going to do it later, or whatever the case may be. And I think one of the things that ends up happening to you is you develop a locker room full of independent contractors. I'm just going to do my job, but I don't want to be involved or be connected because you guys consistently, you know, you acquiesce to a guy who's being an ass, as opposed to handling your business.
Well, so it's not the OC, QB, it's or HC, it's number 11. That's what you say.
I think number 11's a problem. And then if anybody else is in that same realm, if it's your QB, like it's hard. They have changed offensive coordinators almost every year, right?
Other than Steichen, yes, right.
Right. It's hard, right, to implement something, especially if you've got guys that aren't on the same page and you got guys that don't like the game plan because I'm not getting enough touches in this game plan, or I'm not getting this, that, the other, or the quarterback is saying I need to be more than what you're allowing me to be. And I think one of the biggest things just in life in general, Rich, is to know what you are, but probably more importantly, know what you're not. Like, I know what I'm not good at. And so I'm just going to stay away from those things. You know, when I played here in Denver, I was exceptional at the zone running scheme. So A, B, and C, man, I was exceptional at those things. Anything that had to do with pulling or some other things, I was not any good at that anymore. My legs were so beat up. My knees were so beat up. You know what we did? When we implemented power into the game, the gap run scheme, mm-hmm. We only ran 17 power. We ran the right guard pull. We took 16 power. We took counter out of the game plan for me. But Mike Shanahan was like, hey, listen, man, the dude is as good as there is at A, B, and C, at the zone, the wide zone, the tight zone, the taking guys off the ball. He's as good as there is in this game. So he can't pull anymore because his knees are so shot. We just won't pull him. Problem solved, right? And we won back-to-back Super Bowls doing that. And the bottom line is you've got to know as a player what you can and what you can't do. The first thing I did when I broke the huddle was to say to myself, where is my help and where can I not get beat? Where can I absolutely not get beat because I don't have any body presence? I don't have any help. I don't have a running back escaping through the B gap. Where am I in trouble? And let me stay out of that position. Let me funnel a guy where I have help and where I know I can win, as opposed to being, you know, a moron and jumping in the middle of a guy and giving him a two-way go. Like, those are the things you need to know as a player and you need to know as an organization.
Okay. So in the few minutes I have left with you, congratulations. Your name is now Mark Rooney. What do you do if you're in charge of the Steelers, Mark Rooney?
Yeah. I think very much like the Harbaugh situation, sometimes change is a good thing. And I know we've only had three coaches in the last 200 years and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But sometimes, you know, it's run its course. You haven't won a playoff game. I know you've gotten there, but it's not getting there. The goal is always what? To win your division, to try to get a first round bye, right? To be the number one seed and to win a championship. That's the goal. And it feels like the goal in Pittsburgh is, hey, we win more than we lose, right? We're 9-8 and we make it to the playoffs. That if that's the goal in Pittsburgh, then that's incorrect. Like, that's not the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers' goal is to win championships. And if you're not doing that and you're not winning playoff games, then sometimes it's run its course like it had in Baltimore. And sometimes you just got to move on.
Now, lastly, you're in charge of the Packers. What do you do? You're Mark Policy. What do you do?
Yeah, I would continue with Matt LaFleur. I think he's done a phenomenal job. And you've gone through the Aaron Rodgers. You had to make the tough decision there. Now it's Jordan Love, you know, and you've had some injuries down the road. But I still think that that's a damn good football team. And I think Matt LaFleur is a damn good football coach.
Okay. We'll just give you a crack at breaking news. My coordinating producer, Mike Hoskins, just got in my ear and say Jim Harbaugh just fired Greg Roman as the offensive coordinator of the Chargers. Your first blush reaction there is what, Mark?
I think Greg Roman has been great, and he has done a great job implementing kind of that quarterback run game with the drop back game and all those things. And then, you know, that gives itself a potential reunion with John Harbaugh when he goes to the Giants. How about that?
Huh. And so who do you think the Chargers could use? What sort of look to implement Jim Harbaugh's vision? What do you think?
Yeah, well, Jim Harbaugh is a guy that wants to, you know, he wants to run with fullbacks. He wants to run the football. He wants to do all those things. And I'm a big fan of that stuff. But you've got to be able to find a way, one, and I know you had all kinds of offensive line issues in regards to the injuries and stuff. So I don't know that this is necessarily a fair situation, but you've got to be able to figure out how you're going to keep your quarterback upright. And I don't know about you, but I'm watching that New England game late in that game, and I started feeling bad for Justin Herbert. Like, they're going to, like, I thought a couple times he was going to die. Like, it just was like he was getting crushed. Mm-hmm. And when you don't have the ability to run drop back and you don't have the ability to protect your quarterback, you got to find a way, a system to make sure you keep some pressure off of that guy. So I did feel bad about that. I know you've got personnel issues because of the injuries, but yeah, you got to find a way to be successful in those situations.
Stinking Truth Podcast with Mark Schlereth, Fox Sports Mark Schlereth. You're the man. We'll chat again next week if you don't mind, sir. Appreciate your
Sounds good, Rich.
Ladies and gentlemen,
take care, buddy.
Mark Schlereth here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're up against it. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about the Chargers making that move. 844-204-RICH. We'll talk with you as well.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Rich Eisen here. You know that feeling of handing off your taxes and then hearing nothing? Total radio silence. Well, not anymore. Now your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full service expert who checks for every deduction and keeps you in the loop with real-time updates on your phone. Just match with your dedicated expert, upload your docs, and go live your life, confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. This is how taxes should be. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts. O'Reilly Auto Parts can help take the guesswork out of your check engine, ABS, or maintenance light with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE certified master technicians. O'Reilly Veriscan can identify the most likely problem with just one scan. If you need help, O'Reilly Auto Parts can recommend a shop for you. Don't ignore a check engine, ABS, or maintenance light. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. A free service exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Quick break. Let's talk defense. Football's on your screen, but peace of mind starts at home. Blink Outdoor 4 security cameras offer up to a 2-year battery life and Sync Module XR, so you can cover more space without constant maintenance. No wires, no fumbles, just easy coverage that works in the background. You've got your team on the field. Now get your defense at home. Get Blink today at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-6, pardon me, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. Man, the Los Angeles Chargers just bounced Greg Roman. And this can't be easy for Jim Harbaugh. Listen, when Jim took the job at Stanford, do you know who he called and asked to be on his staff? Guy's name is Greg Roman. He took him from Holy Spirit. He was the offensive coordinator at Holy Spirit. And then joined Stanford as an associate head coach. And when Jim got the gig in San Francisco, he became the offensive coordinator. We had Alex Smith on in hour number one. We all know what happened when Jim and Roman were all there. He turned to Colin Kaepernick, and Kaepernick turned into a dynamo at quarterback. He's the one who started the Super Bowl against John Harbaugh. And the whole conversation we keep hearing about John being the coach on the market that everybody wants to have, rightfully so. We talk about the Super Bowl that he won, and the Niners almost won that one. Jim goes to Michigan. They go their separate ways. Roman winds up on John's staff. He gets bounced from there in 2022. He's off in 2023 when Jim comes back to the pros. First guy he calls, says offensive coordinator, is Greg Roman. They go way back. And at the end of the day, Harbaugh across the street, this happened in the last 24 hours. He calls him into his office. He goes, we're going in a different direction, or whatever he says. And Greg Roman is now out. And there's now another offensive coordinator position open in the NFL. I'm wondering if there are more. Are there as many OC jobs open as HC jobs right now?
Ooh, good question.
I don't know. Because every HC job that's open might require, like, if you hire a defensive coordinator as your new head coach, that'll require an offensive coordinator gig to be open. So an HC job may be filled, but an OC job may be open. And all these other former OCs like Cliff Kingsbury or Mike McDaniel, as a former HC, he might be the best OC candidate out there if he's not hired as HC. And there's a lot of rumors that Cleveland's going to hire him as their HC right now. And if you're an OC on the market, like, where's the best OC gig open? The Chargers are a pretty damn good OC gig.
Yeah, that's not a bad one.
All right, because you kind of know what's required of you. What's required of you...
Get Justin Herbert to the Hall of Fame.
Well, I mean, that's no big deal. But you also know you got a guy who wants to run the football, and you're going to get an all-pro on a left tackle and a pro bowler, an all-pro in Blossom in Joe Alt. Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt are coming back. And you got a young kid in Omarion Hampton, who we assume is going to be able to stay healthy in year two, and Justin Herbert to protect. And Jim is going nowhere. So it's not like you got a head coach on the hot seat. He's going nowhere. I just don't know what, you know, I'll just give voice to one of the only Charger fans we know. It's not the man who was in the delivery room for all of our children, Chris.
No,
I mean, I always love it.
Oh, he's a big Charger.
Bobby Katz driving around OBGN. OBGYN of the stars. One of the few Charger fans we know diehard.
For sure.
Okay. But Sean Mitchell, our digital coordinating producer.
Smitch is doing backflips right now.
Smitch was the one during the game who is really pissed. And the thing that I think pissed him off the most, and I don't blame him, was when the game's on the line and you got to go fast and you need two possessions. You know you need two possessions. And the Chargers wind up substituting on offense, which allows the Patriots to substitute on defense. And Collinsworth's going nuts in the booth saying, you know, I know, you know, the receivers need a blow here. They need a break here. But if you're taking one off the field or putting another one on, you're allowing the Patriots to sub out here. And, you know, Vrabel, he knows the rule book better than most. He famously out-rule-booked Belichick in a game.
Sure did.
Wasn't that the walk-off playoff?
In the playoff game.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's going to be like, yeah, let's take our sweet-ass time. If you're giving us an opportunity to delay your ability to go fast, we're going to take it. And if you're able to run an offense multiple plays to be run out of the same alignment. If you run a similar alignment but have the playbook so wide open that you can run any play from the same alignment, that helps you in a moment where you're needing to go fast. You also, yes, can run multiple plays out of a similar look. Everyone loves to have multiple looks on offense, but if you can have it where you have a similar look but can go anywhere and leave the defense guessing from a similar look, like, say, their roommates in SoFi, that's what you're needing.
Yep.
And in many ways, that's why the Rams coaching staff constantly gets raided year in and year out. Everybody wants the fruit of the McVay vine. And I don't know. Is that what would be helpful for the Chargers? Just based on what we saw, okay? Because I understand even Schlereth's first blush response is like, what do you want this guy to do? You lost the left tackle. You lost the right tackle. Even the replacement left tackle couldn't stay healthy. The replacement right tackle couldn't stay healthy. What, Mike Devlin just got the gate as well? Their offensive line coach? Is that what you said in my ear? Yeah. So Jim is starting from scratch, but we know that is going to be where it starts. That's it. Right there.
But he might also have a new DC.
Yeah, I think that's 100%. I think Jesse Minter listen, you know I'm biased when it comes to him. I think the Ravens are going to poach him. But we have yet to hear his name mentioned with them, I don't think. Although the emails we get from NFL Network, at least I do on my phone, it's just one after another. It's tough to keep track of who's interviewing where and who's been asked. Whose permission has been asked for, et cetera, and so forth. But Harbaugh has said, you know, he's going to find some answers, and he is making some hard choices in 24 hours. I know Chargers fans might say it's an easy choice. Ravens fans might echo that sentiment about Greg, but Greg's as smart as they come. And maybe he was reading some writing on the wall, too. I don't know. You certainly didn't hear that from him when I was interviewing him in the with the rest of the broadcast prior to the Chargers-Texans game. Wasn't getting any sense that there was any daylight between him and his head coach. But at the end of the day, I think more OC gigs open than HC gigs right now. And whoever doesn't get an HC gig,
oh yeah,
that's an OC, is going to be in high demand.
Mm-hmm.
High demand. And here's one of these spots. You want to go help protect Justin Herbert and take a run first offense to new heights with Jim Harbaugh, who's going nowhere? You want to do that? You want to help Jim take Justin Herbert to the Hall of Fame? Is that what you want to do? Come out and live in Southern California?
Come out to the coast.
Yeah. It's going to be a compelling argument. A compelling argument. But that's what's happening now with the Los Angeles Chargers. Man, I never would have seen that one coming. After I'm on a plane back from Brazil, and the sense that I got was the Chargers are a playoff team, and the Chiefs are going to have to really put something together to get back to the Super Bowl. I mean, it's the first blush, 1 week. You know, they were left arguing with each other. They made mental mistakes. They lost Xavier Worthy. And then the Chargers start 3-0 in division. The Chiefs go 0-2, yada, yada, yada. Here we are. The Chargers are an 11-win team. Chiefs are out. And now we've got turnover on the offensive coaching staff, to say the least, and maybe the defense too. The Chargers are off and running in their off season. 844-204-RICH, number to dial your phone calls. We pushed Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday to hour three based on this news. Kevin Nealon joining us in studio in hour number three. Lots always happening in this NFL-driven crazy world on The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Oh, my word. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hyundai Hope on Wheels, everybody, is something I love to talk about because, you know, my run is all about supporting pediatric cancer research. And the same thing with every Hyundai sold. For over 27 years, every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. 850 dealers nationwide for Hyundai together have raised more than $277 million to support over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. HyundaiUSA.com is a spot where you should search up Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more, please. Because at Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. Just talking about the weather for Sunday night's game between the Rams and the Bears. Could be the coldest game on record. Remember the one in Kansas City between the Dolphins and the Chiefs?
And then Green Bay back in that. Was that an NFC?
Well, that was the one where I thought my Tom Coughlin's face was going to fall off. You know, I actually looked that game up last night because I was wondering
07-08.
You know, about Favre's last pass as a Packer was an interception in overtime. And, you know, Rodgers' last pass maybe is a player, is a pick six. You know, and
Favre's last pass is a Viking.
I was not a pick six. I looked that up. He threw an interception in a game. He went 5 of 7 against the Bears in a loss. And remember, what was it? What was that fellow's name? Webb, the quarterback?
Davis Webb?
Joe Webb, I think, came in.
Joe Webb. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, meet Joe Webb came in. Oh, my God.
Joe Webb.
Jesse in Manhattan, Illinois. Let's take Manhattan, Illinois. What's up, Jesse?
What's up, Rich? You hear me pretty good?
Is it going to be cold, frigid Sunday night? What do you got for me in Illinois?
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy over there in Chicago. We got the California, L.A. Rams coming in. First and foremost, I want to say thanks for everything you do for the NFL, Rich. Honestly,
thank you.
You do so much. You're here in and out every day, putting in the hard work, the
thank
grunt
you.
Work.
My pleasure.
Everything.
Trust me.
In my book, you're a Hall of Famer. But Sunday to the game, Chicago versus L.A., the Bears need to step up on that D, like how they did the second half versus Green Bay. Cardiac, ice cold Caleb Williams with those painted nails and all. We're going to whoop them. We're going to take it. We need to play hard, you know?
All right.
They're not Easy, though. L.A., Sean McVay, he's a great coach.
I can confirm that, sir. I can confirm that. They are not easy. And again, they got a Notre Dame kid. They got a Notre Dame kid and a Michigan kid running.
Be in our favor.
Right. Like I said, it's going to be great, and it's going to be cold. And, you know, the Bears, as you know, lost their left tackle and lost their, you know, heart and soul in the middle of the defense in losing those two guys. And the
Bill Belichick has PT time at left tackle, though, so hopefully that holds up for us, you know.
We will see.
The whole line's been playing terrific.
Well, Jesse, again, you're when I mentioned the weather and you're like, yeah, it's going to be cold. And there's a team from Los Angeles coming in.
This is an everyday thing. No. I know it's going to be cold, but like it's going to be cold. You can finally say it's going to be cold.
Well, I'm going to say that, Jesse, you stating such an obvious thing, you know, Mike Del Tufo, I think he's taken your job as well.
Yeah.
And also Michael Irvin's talking the famous tweet in 2014, man, when we played in that cold weather, we was cold.
We was cold.
So thank you. And Jesse can confirm that sitting there in Illinois. Thank you for the call. I'm very pleased and to be here. And thank you for the compliment.
Okay, so Bills Dolphins a couple of years ago in the wild card, it was -4. Felt like -27. Very irresponsible to even play that. 07 NFC Championship game, it was -1 with a wind chill of -23.
Dustin in Kansas City, let's take your call. What's up, Dustin?
Hey, Rich and the fellas, how's it going?
I'm fine.
That's what I mean.
Well, this has nothing to do about the Bears game. But I do remember that Kansas City Dolphins game. That was pretty pretty frigid temperatures.
Man, in that cold weather, everyone was cold. Yeah.
Mike McDaniel looked pretty roughed up there.
Yep.
But as a Broncos fan living in Kansas City, it's been torture the past 10 years. This year has been very therapeutic.
Now, are you telling it to people around there, or are you just keeping it quiet? How are you?
Yes, my whole family is Chiefs fans.
Oh, boy, Dustin.
So,
okay.
It's been a great year. Yeah, I've been letting out a lot of demons.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For sure.
Well, you got to finish it off. You can't just do this as to be the one seed and get one and done by Josh Allen. Because, you know, obviously all your Chiefs friends will say, leave it up to us to eliminate Josh Allen if you can't. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want that, Dustin. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, last year in that wild card round, that Bo Nix touchdown got me all juiced up. And then he broke my heart. But this year, I feel like it's going to be different. I feel like that run defense that the Bills have is pretty trash. And I know we don't have J.K. Dobbins, but R.J. Harvey's been looking pretty good the past few weeks. And I think he's going to surprise some people out there.
Dustin, did you go higher register twice?
Yeah. I don't think he did. That was two times.
Mike heard it. Mike, Rich, he's the audio expert. I heard it. Like,
he
mean,
said it with his chest.
I mean, R.J. Harvey's not running. You're like, he didn't go up there a couple of times.
Two.
Yeah, well, right. You know, that's the hope, right? Because, you know, Josh Allen,
that's it.
The best quarterback in the playoffs right now.
You give a little higher register tip of the cap to Josh Allen. That's Dustin in Kansas City, speaking with his chest to his family right there. You know, I got to tell you, that Patriots whipping of the Los Angeles Chargers and then last night's game, you know, it was 7-6 entering the fourth quarter, and then it was just a total blowout.
It was a rough watch.
Kind of makes you think. Maybe you missed the Kansas City Chiefs in these playoffs after all.
No.
Stop it.
No.
It's a higher register Tuesday.
No, we don't.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Maybe the Chiefs being out there with Mahomes if he was healthy, and maybe it makes it more interesting. Maybe it's coming back around again.
They would have been lucky to score 6 against the Texans last night.
I get it.
That's probably true.
I see you. I see you. I see what you're saying. Hold on a minute.
You just don't want that take to age so poorly.
Oh, exactly. It's not great.
Yeah. No.
It's fine. Say it happens.
Not me.
It's definitely not great.
It happens.
Yeah, Mahomes and the Chiefs lost to the Texans. Is that where Mahomes blew out his knee against the Chargers, right? In the final throws of that game. It all melds together. I miss them so much.
Rich.
Such a weird thing to
you
say.
It's not weird. It's not weird.
You are climbing that mountain.
I'm just saying, maybe he comes back around. Maybe my take won't be so bad.
He's staying there.
At the end of the day. You understand how I can't quit my take sometimes, and maybe it's
I do. Yeah, yeah. It's maybe your only fault.
Did you go higher register there? Did I notice it's maybe your only fault?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. How do I handle that sort of thing? Kevin Nealon's about to join us, everybody, in hour number three. It's an overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. That's in hour number three. Your phone calls, all the phone lines are lit. I dig it. And I didn't go higher register there. I really do dig it. No doubt about it.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.